What's up, LeakyCon? Welcome to Oops, All Kowalskis, as presented by Speak Beastie. We are so glad you are here today and not in Puffs or the cosplay contest or anything else. You could have been so many other places, but you chose to be with us, and that means so much to all of us. So first things first, we're just going to introduce ourselves. We're going to give our names, our Hogwarts house, our Ilvermorny house, our favorite beast, and then your favorite Fantastic Beasts character. So I know that's kind of a long, a lot of things to say, but I'm going first, so y'all have time to think.
Okay. Yes.
I am Anne. I am one of the producers and one of the hosts of Speak Beastie. I am a Slytherin / Thunderbird. You can't see my earrings from the audience, but they're Thestrals because Thestrals are the best roles. Those are my favorite. And then my favorite character in the Fantastic Beasts series is Theseus. Marjolaine?
So I'm Marjolaine. I'm one of the hosts. I'm French.
What?
Shocking. I forgot. I'm a Ravenclaw.
Ilvermorny?
Yeah, Thunderbird, so all the... The bird's house, but I'm Beaubaton, so yeah, that's not my real houses.
We don't know your Beaubaton house.
I don't think Beaubaton has houses, because we don't do that in France, so...
Yeah. We don't really do it in America either.
Yeah,
okay.
So.
what else we
Your favorite beast and your favorite Fantastic Beast character.
My favorite beast... should say Phoenix because I have a Phoenix outfit, but I think it's a demiguise.
Good one.
Yeah, it changed all the time, but this time I think it's Dougal specifically, but the demiguise. And I also love the moon calves. They are the cutest.
They're so cute.
And now that I'm able to play Hogwarts Legacy, it's the best thing to have baby moon calves and raising them and play with them with the little moon ball. That's the best. So yeah.
Okay, who's your favorite Fantastic Beasts character?
Oh, specifically Fantastic Beasts.
Yeah. I mean, you can say Dumbledore if he's your favorite.
Yeah, Dumbledore is my favorite. But who we got introduced in the Fantastic Beasts series. It's hard, but I think Newt is my favorite. Yeah.
All right, Carolyn.
All right, I am Carolyn, and I am all the snakes. So I am Horned Serpent. I am Slytherin. I am apparently evil. And then I am the graphic designer for Speak Beastie. So I make stickers and coloring pages and whatever else strikes my fancy that they will let me get away with making. And let's see, favorite beast has to be the Niffler. Specifically baby Nifflers. My kids love the moon calf and they love Picket too. So we're a pretty broad house in terms of favorite beast. And favorite character has to be Kowalski. Sorry.
Jacob.
I love Jacob.
He's great.
Yeah. So.
Jeff?
Hi, I'm Jeff Hutton. I am a Hufflepuff Wedgie. I feel like that's a pretty common combination, but I am a Hufflepuff and a Puck Wedgie. For anybody who does the Sorting Hat chats, I'm primary and secondary Hufflepuff, so Puffs all the way. Hi.
It's okay, that's me with snakes.
Thanks. Actually, I think part of why Carolyn and I get along so well is because Hufflepuffs and Slytherins are actually quite compatible.
My husband's a Hufflepuff, so yeah, it tracks.
My favorite Fantastic Beast, I agree with Marjolaine, it's the demiguise, because a demiguise for me is the perfect beast representation of an introvert, which is actually the opposite of me, but I'm one of those extroverts that gathers introverts like a magnet, and just like, they're my friends, I take care of them, I love them, they're all very precious to me, so they don't have to go out and be extra, I'll do it for them. And my favorite Fantastic Beasts character, that's a tough one because it was Queenie for the longest time and I still love Queenie so much, but ever since we met Lolly Hicks, I can't, I want her to have her own movie. I can't get enough of Jessica Williams as Lolly Hicks.
Okay, I'll give you, that's a second for me. for sure.
And my second is Flamel, actually. Yeah.
Did not look the way I wanted him to look in my head, though.
But he did that cute little shuffle.
Oh, he was adorable. Absolutely adorable.
The Flamel shuffle. Everybody knows the one.
So I noticed that most of you did not raise your hands when asked if you listened to Speak Beastie. Well, welcome. You have chosen a heck of a place to dive in. Speak Beastie is, I believe, if not the only, then one of the only Fantastic Beasts-centric podcasts out there. We don't know Harry Potter, we don't know Voldemort, we do know Minerva McGonagall, but we don't know why we know her, because she shouldn't be there.
No.
Know Severus Snape, we don't know any of those girlies. We only know Newt Scamander in this house. We have been podcasting, I want to say, since 2015, I should know this, I should have done my research, but I didn't.
2015. I hunted you down when you guys started. 2015 sounds right.
And we talked about the first movie, talked the second movie, talked the third movie. We do bi-weekly podcasts where we do deep dives into pretty much anything and everything about the Fantastic Beasts series that you can think of. We also do segments in addition to our discussions of the series. So we do Time Turners, which is where we talk about things as varied as the Grand Guignol Theater from the 1940s in Paris, all the way to things like the history of trick-or-treating. We also cover the Newt case, which is where we talk about cryptids and Fantastic Beasts. Like, we've talked about the Kelpie. We talked at length about the Kievan when it was revealed that that was going to be a pivotal part. I think you did a lot of research on that for...
Yeah.
Yeah, eyes and Kielan knowledge.
Yeah, when I did some research on that, it was before the release of the movie, when we knew there would be a Kievan. And in my research, there was the plot of the movie, actually. I gather it was involved in the election, choosing the right leader. It's all in the mythology of the beast. So, yeah. But we talk about other things like Mothman.
Yes, we did. We also did a feature episode recently on My Boyfriend Mothman. When Lizzie looked at my doc about research, she was like, "This is 2 pages, 11-point font, single space about Mothman." I like Mothman. We also have some other things. Those are our 2 main segments, the Time Turner and the Newt case, but we also have a couple of other segments where we do a Battle of the Beasts, which is where we name 2 beasts and then determine who would win in a fight, or if you're Jeff, which one is cuter and better and would be a better friend. We also talk about No Match Movie Magic, where we talk about the folks behind the scenes who make the Fantastic Beasts movies great. And then finally, the reason we're here today is Kowalski's Half-Baked Theories, which is where one of our hosts will bring a theory to the rest of us, present it, and then we will rank it. We haven't had a ton of Kowalski's Half-Baked Theories, but the one that we had, our first one, I think was our most iconic, which was where Helene brought forward the theory that Dumbledore was actually Dougal, which is the demiguise. And it's a whole theory. Look it up on YouTube. I think it's Super Carlin Brothers.
It's better than him being Ron.
He could be Dougal and Ron. Yeah.
He could. He could. That's fair.
Yeah.
I can
That's
see.
My favorite. Yeah.
The goal of our panel today is to... I know I found a theory. I think y'all created your theories, right?
I came up with my own.
I was going to copy and paste a fan theory that I found somewhere in the dark corners of the internet, but then on the drive up here, I had so much time in Chicago traffic with everything happening this weekend. I'm actually going to sit here in traffic and think up something else, and that's what I did.
And I wrote mine with my kids on a rewatch before the panel, so, you know.
And today there is a new episode coming out, and and we recorded last week, and I was part of it, and we focused on the phrase of, now that we analyzed the whole screenplay of the third movie. It took us 1 year to do it, but now we finished it. We try to follow the threads, and it makes me think of Furies and Lost Threads. So I got inspired in this episode to find my own.
So for those of you who listen to the podcast, if you download the podcast and listen to it right now, you can hear Marjolaine here and here. two places at once. Amazing magic. Anyway, so what we do with the Kowalski's Hat Big Theories is we rank them. The lowest rank is a flobberworm, which is, this is never going to happen. Why did you even bring this to us? This is ridiculous. The middle rank is blast-ended scroot, so we think it could happen, it might not, who knows. And then the top rank is demiguise, which is, we're pretty sure you're actually a leak from Warner Brothers, and why aren't you campaigning for the fourth movie? Why are you talking to us?
Yeah, because the fourth movie will happen.
It will happen.
Okay?
Yeah.
We still believe that. If it's not happening, we will make it.
We're going to make it ourselves.
We have actually, if you listen to our episode from 2 weeks ago, we cast it. I'm playing Tina. I'm
Vinda.
You're Vinda.
Vinda Rosier.
Caroline, I bet that you can play Lally because Jeff is queen.
Yes. I get Lally. I like it. I'll take it.
I think we cast my husband as Grindelwald. Like, we just cast the entire everyone with the cast and crew of VC. It'll be great and it'll be fantastic. It definitely won't be weird. It'll be great.
It doesn't matter who we get to play Dumbledore or Grindelwald, it'll change.
That is true. So we'll have my husband play Grindelwald at first, but then maybe he'll be Colin Farrell, and maybe if it goes viral. So what we're doing is each of us are taking our theories that we have collated from either our own brains or the internet, and we are going to each of us are going to present our theories. Then we are going to rank them, whether we think it's flobberworm, blast-ended scroot, or demiguise. Y'all are going to rank them, whether you think it's flobberworm, blast-ended scroot, or demiguise. And then we are going to take those four theories and make the plots of the fourth and fifth movies. And then Warner Brothers, we know you're listening. They're not free, but we can talk. Okay, so we'll go ahead and get cracking on those theories. I figure we'll just do it going down the table. Jeff, do you want to start? Or Margaret,
yeah, I can start.
All right, Jeff, take it away.
Okay, so do I just state what the basic theory is and then explain it, or do I just like take them through the theory?
Take them through the theory.
Okay, so let me tell you a story. What?
You're timed, Jeff.
Okay, let me tell you a short story.
Okay, we have 5 to 7 minutes, so you have 5 to 7 minutes.
Okay, so my theory is that Credence and Nagini had not an illegitimate child, but they did have a child. And they recognized that because of their respective afflictions, they would not be able to raise the child. And it was placed in an orphanage. It was a girl. And she was adopted by Mr. and Mrs. Prince. Some of you are ahead of me.
This child
grew up to be Eileen Prince. She married a man named Tobias Snape. They had a son named Severus. And because he sees and knows all, Dumbledore knew that this illegitimate child existed the whole time, and that Severus Snape is in fact the illegitimate grandchild of Voldemort's favorite serpentine companion and Credence. And that is the real reason why Albus Dumbledore shows so much special treatment and favoritism to Severus Snape.
Yeah, because what does it makes Severus his...
Snape is basically the long-lost great-grandnephew of
I'm losing track of family shit.
Albus Dumbledore, which gives them a familial connection as well.
Oh!
Yeah.
Because Credence is his nephew. So just to make it easier, Severus Snape is the long-lost illegitimate grandchild of Credence and Nagini. And that's why Dumbledore and Snape have such a vibe, because not only are they allies in power, they're related.
I mean, the look works. I'll give you that.
That's true. So the aesthetic is strong.
I'll be honest, that's a big jumping off point for me. There was so much discussion when Ezra Miller grew their hair long, and that they were looking very Snape-y in Secrets of Dumbledore, that maybe they were going to go that direction with it anyway. So clearly the producers and the stylists for Secrets of Dumbledore have my back on this. They were trying to tell us without telling us.
And that's why Nagini disappeared, because it would be obvious that she's having a child.
She disappeared because she's a snake now.
She would have had the child before she, you know.
Yeah, that. Yes.
No, that's why she wasn't in the third movie.
But, where she was, yeah.
But can a Maledictus be pregnant?
We don't have anything solid to support that being a Maledictus makes you infertile.
But how does the fetus?
We don't have.
Does the fetus turn into a snake fetus?
It turned into a bat. That's something.
So, was Aileen Prince an egg?
What?
Was she an egg?
Well, aren't we all in the beginning?
No.
I mean, like, that part is still the same, right?
That's true. I mean, like, a hard-shelled egg.
An egg that came out, then hatched.
We can quibble over the thickness of the egg, but, I mean, Jesus. We all got to start somewhere, I'm just saying.
Okay, Carolyn, what do you think? Flobberworm, demiguys, or blast-ended Scroot? And I screwed that up, it's demiguys.
It's the other order, I know where
it's
you're
okay,
going.
She knows.
I'm going to go blast-ended Scroot.
Okay,
sorry.
Got one blast-ended Scroot.
Okay. No, that's fair.
It's really good, though. Very good.
I thought it was not bad for being stuck in Chicago traffic, right?
Marjolaine,
what do you think?
Okay, I was first going to Flabberworm, but because I don't think there is any chance that they will... No, it doesn't work in my mind, but it's so good that I must give it Blast and Discrew, too.
Okay, it's two.
Because you thought about... details, and I like it. At first I was no, but yeah, no, I like it.
Thank you. And what do you think?
I like the drama.
Yeah.
So I'm giving it a Demi guys.
Yeah.
I want that to happen.
Well, we've decided that this is
every character that I just name dropped is all about the drama.
Exactly.
Every
and
single
like
one
I said, the aesthetic is so strong that I would believe it's partially genetic.
Yeah.
I mean, we've already decided that we're writing all the rest of the movies. It's happening, so.
Yeah. that's why I'm the Demi guys. Okay, so show of hands from the audience. Let's see your hand up if you think this is a Flobberworm theory. It'll never happen.
We don't have one Flobberworm. Wow. This is great.
Good job.
Oh, we have one Flobberworm.
Okay.
That's fine.
Ouch.
It's okay. We got one.
All right. Hands up if you think it's a blast-ended Scroot of a theory. Okay. We got some hands. Okay. And finally, do you think it's a Demi guys theory?
Oh! I think Demi guys win.
It's close. Right. It's close.
I would say we're about half and half between Demi guys and blast-ended Scroot. So, and
blast
one Flobberworm.
Blast-ended Demi guys.
Are you keeping score, Anne?
Kind of. I'm just typing it. Sorry, I look like I'm doing something. All right, Carolyn, restart your timer, and then we'll start with your theory.
I don't know if my theory is as good as the blast.
It's going to be great.
It's a theory. It's something.
All right, 7 minutes on the clock. Go.
Okay, so my theory does also have to do with Credence. Because I started thinking as I was rewatching these movies with my children, and... we have a progression of Credence. In the first and second movies, he's gaining almost control over his affliction, whatever we want to call this, obscurial, obscurus, whatever. He seems like by the end of the first movie, he seems to be starting to have control. In the second one, he can release it on command. And there's an awful lot of rooftop scenes in that movie for some reason.
Wizards love roofs.
Apparently, they really do. And then you get to the third movie, and all of a sudden, he's dying. Quick question. Did we ever determine how old Credence was supposed to be in the first movie?
Well,
because we know he's older than... Late teens. Was it late teens? Mid? I mean, the actor who shall not be named.
You can't determine. You can't make the determination because one birth record for him says 1901, another one says 1904.
Okay.
Which would put him at either 24 or 27.
All right. So
he invents the first movie.
So way too old to still be alive. But okay. So the point of my theory that I'm getting to, roundabout, is that the other thing that happens in the first movie is that sneaky Grindelwald takes the Obscurus out of Newt's case right before he sentences them to death, and then we never see that Obscurus again. So sometime between movie 2 and movie 3, I think Grindelwald wanted to just to see what would happen if you had two Obscurials in the same body.
Oh, that's such a Grindelwald move.
Isn't it? I mean, he's a manipulative... I can't say this word because we'll have to bleep it out later. So I think he did, because I can't figure out why someone who's gaining control of his Obscurus is all of a sudden dying. And so that's my theory, is that he's got two Obscuruses in it.
Well,
in him. And that's why he's dying. There's my theory. It's bizarre.
No, it's not bizarre.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Oh, we have a question.
We have a
hand. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, yes!
In previous years, hosted content about Obscurials and Obscuruses, and my working theory is that the Obscurus is the opposite of the Patronus, because it's tied to the caster. So that would also be really interesting if it was two separate people's magics fighting for dominance in the body.
Yeah. Ooh, there you go. See? Okay. I got help from the audience. Thank you.
Yeah, and actually, when you remember the scene in the third movie with Albus and Credence in the mirror world, and he's using the Deluminator, and the Deluminator is pushing away the Obscurus from his body.
Yeah.
So I think it works with the thing between light and darkness, but we see only one Obscurus. But the two can.
But they could have merged. Yeah, the shadow thing.
Right. That's where. My entire theory becomes threads, but you never see the Obscurus in Newt's case. You never see it in his house, anything, after that scene where Graves takes it out and is like, why do you even have this? You then find out he's actually Grindelwald, and then Credence goes with him. Like, he's not with him after that, so it makes sense that it happens between 2 and 3, when he's with him.
So do you think... Because Newt managed to get this Obscurus off of the little girl that was trying to save, but it didn't work. But if he's doing that again with Credence, he can extract maybe just one of the two Obscurus?
That's my theory for movie 4 and 5.
Okay. So yeah, it will
so it
help
all...
maybe save Credence.
Exactly, okay. Because we see him walk off. Half dead, the end of 3.
Well, that's because he has to go down all those stairs.
That's true. Yes,
and that Miss Cardi will kill anybody.
And in true Fantastic Beasts fashion, Credence will be played by anyone else.
All right, Jeff, what do you think?
Well, earlier when we were wondering about whether or not my theory. Would bear any weight. There were questions that were raised to which I said we don't have any information to prove that it wouldn't work that way. I feel like there's so much emphasis on what an Obscurial is, how it works. People have, you know, discussed that so much in and outside of the canon films that if it were possible to have two Obscurials and if somebody were working on that kind of research, then we probably would have had a little bit more to back it up. But you make a compelling argument about it, so I can't dismiss it out of hand, so I'll give it a blast and it's great.
That I will take that.
All right, Marta?
I think I'm giving it to Demi, guys.
Yes,
because... Yeah, I agree with Jeff that maybe it's... but I agree and disagree because I don't think Obscurus are so well known. They still are... It looks like the wizard want to think that they don't exist. And they want to forget the existence of Obscurus. They are saying, oh, there was no Obscurus in our country since how long? And it's not true. Clearly, it's just their way to believe that everything is right and we have no children who feel bad about their magic, and so there is no Obscurus. So I trust the thing that we might still don't know anything about how it works. So, and I like that it gave us a way to maybe save credence. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna say Blast Ended Screwed as well, just because you're right, we don't know if there's anybody doing research on Obscurials, but we also don't not know. Because the Harry Potter books are, from Harry's point of view, the Fantastic Beasts movies are basically limited to the core four. Oh, that's 7 minutes. So if somebody's doing research out there, we just don't know about it because Newt doesn't know about it. So I'm giving that a black screw. Okay.
My theory depends on Grindelwald just being a complete and utter jerk.
Oh, so. I totally trust that.
And obsessed with Obscurials for some reason.
Okay, audience, hands up. Flobberworm. Okay,
oh, I got
Flobberworm.
A few. That's fair.
That's fine.
Totally fair.
Blast Ended Screw?
Ooh,
okay.
I got a solid Blast Ended Screw showing. Nice.
All right, okay, so it seems like this one's pretty solidly Blast Ended Screw.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, Marjolaine, you have pages of notes.
Yeah, no, she's got more
just
notes.
Just one page.
Well, then I might have you beat.
All right, that is 7 minutes on the clock. Go.
So, do you remember that there is a prophecy in this movie? Do you remember the prophecy?
No.
Tycho Dodonis?
No. Would you block it out, Jeff?
No.
So, no.
No more prophecies.
So this prophecy appeared in the second movie and totally disappeared after that. Mm-hmm. So I just remind you, it's a son cruelly banished, despair of the daughter, returned great Avenger with wings from the water.
Remember that? That was such a huge plot point movie too.
Yeah. So we still don't know who is it about. Who is the subject of this prophecy? At first, Gamma thought it was him. Then we thought it was Corvus Strange. Then we realized that Credence is not Corvus, it's Credence, Aurelius, we don't know. So maybe it's about him. It still kind of works if we think it's about Credence. Maybe he is the son cruelly banished. The despair of the daughter might be Ariana. But who is the great Avenger? So that's what we were discussing in the episode that came out today. So I will not talk about that because I have another theory that maybe it's not Credence, it's someone else. Because maybe
follow the podcast.
We don't have to look who is the son cruelly banished, or maybe who is the daughter who is despairing, but who has a son or a grandson cruelly banished and a daughter who is despairing? Who might it be?
Are we talking about Fantastic Beasts?
No, we're talking about Star Wars.
Oh,
no.
It's about Luke and Leia. Oh my God, okay.
No, I'm still talking about the Dumbledore family.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Because I still think it's connected to the Dumbledore family because we have the wings, the phoenix images.
The legend.
I think it's Percival Dumbledore. Yeah. So Percival has... I still think the son cruelly banished could be Credence. So it's not his son, it's his grandson, but it still works. Despair of the daughter is definitely Ariana. So that's his daughter.
That's the reason he's in prison.
And I think he's the great Avenger, and he will return. But like you say, he can't return, he's dead. But you remember also that in the second movie, they are talking about Phoenix coming to Dumbledore in Neath, and it's something that Albus heard, and probably from his father. So what if this phoenix, he was not talking about a phoenix, he was talking about himself, because he is an animagus who can turn into a phoenix. So he didn't die in Azkaban. He used the Sirius Black trick. He transformed into a phoenix, and phoenix can do very, very strong magic trick. So maybe he faked his own death and was rebirthed into a phoenix, and he get away through the water because Azkaban is the middle of the water. And so as a phoenix with wings from the water, he escaped from Azkaban. And he is the phoenix who is returning to his family, to his son's grandson, to help them when they are in need. So the phoenix that we see, that may be Firmsek, it is Percival Dumbledore. And he is the great Avenger because in the future movie that we'll see later, he will take a part into avenging his family, because he will probably take a huge part into helping his son defeating Grindelwald, who destroyed his family.
So wait, are you...
And he was also an Avenger even before, because he avenged his daughter from what the young Muggle boys did to her. So he really has this Avenger vibe, and so I trust that he is the great Avenger.
So are we gonna... Oh, go ahead,
Laurie. In the prophecy?
Yeah. For those of you who can't hear Laurie, she said there's an image of fire under the water.
Yeah, that in the water there's an image of fire.
That might have been a visual from the movie.
We got that from the visual for the third movie. We got this phoenix made of water that we were sure it was about the prophecy, but the prophecy was not mentioned. It's with wings from the water, but there is no fire in the prophecy. But maybe I'm forgetting something. That's possible.
So are we saying that if you can transfigure into a phoenix, you get immortality? Can I sign up for that?
Well, I was actually just Googling Percival Dumbledore's age, because we know he died in 1890. Well, died in theory. In 1891, but we don't know when he was born, so I was looking it up, and it doesn't look like we know exactly when he was born, but the best guess for Kendra is in the 1850s, so presuming he's maybe a couple of years older than her, that's going to put him in the late 1840s being born. So that means in order to show up to the duel with Grindelwald and Dumbledore in 1945, he would only be about 100 years old, which Dumbledore was 115-ish when he died, so that's
wizards are old.
Out of the range of possibility.
And he's doubled also.
And he's also a Dumbledore.
So yeah, that's my favorite.
Loves it. Okay, Jeff, what do you think?
This is a demigods for me. And just, I like how well thought out it is. I like how well it incorporates a lot of things that didn't really go anywhere in the series. And I just like the idea that Percival Dumbledore didn't actually die in Azkaban and ended up becoming a source of help and comfort to his family instead of dying in jail, because that's what he wanted the whole time. So, I like this theory. I choose to believe it because I like to think that it's true.
All right, Carolyn?
I'm going to go demiguise as well.
Thank you.
Because it's way more thought out than mine. No. I like the idea that he turned into a phoenix, for sure. Yeah, and I like that he pulled a Sirius on that one. I think I like thinking that Sirius is not the first one to come up with that, because him being the first one to come up with that feels like a stretch anyway. So, yeah.
I'm keeping track of everyone's rankings in my Google Doc here. Like I said, mostly so I can look important, like I'm doing something, focusing. So I just wrote Demiguys X3 for Marjolaine's theory, because I'm in on that too. I think it's a great theory, very well thought out. All right, show of hands. Let's see who thinks it's a flubberworm.
I would be amazed if anybody raises their
hand. Okay, cool. Blessed group. Okay. Demiguys.
Everybody else. Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, so now it's time for my theory. I did not come up with my own theory, because it's whatever. This is a theory that I found online. It was created by Evni Chan on Tumblr. And for those of you who are listening to this show later, I will put a link in the show notes. The theory is that Tina becomes president of MACUSA. And it starts out with, the theory starts out with some quotes about, from Catherine Waterston about Tina, saying that Graves has the job that Tina really wants to have one day. He's respected at work, he's successful, he has authority, skill, and competence. She admires him, she's in awe of him. Catherine also said that Tina loves the rules, wants to stick by them. She's proud to be part of MACUSA. She's flawed and good at her job, and if she can manage to get her career back on track, someday she might be respected at MACUSA. And one of the big sticking points of this theory is that the author does not name people accidentally. Tina's full name is Porpentina Esther Goldstein. Esther is one of the Jewish queens. It's like she is one of the female rulers in the Bible. So the fact that she has this middle name is not a coincidence. In addition, Tina also goes from working in a wand permit office to being head of the Auror office in 4 years, which is an insane jump. So if Gurley can go from wand permits to Auror department, who knows what she can do in 10 years? She could be like president of the world.
She needs to.
She needs to be president of the world. I agree.
That's what we need.
More of them. Lots of them.
We love Tina. We didn't get enough Tina, Tina in our favorite
I see hand, yes.
But,
I would just like to point out that I believe Tina was a Aurora before.
She was. Yeah, you're right. Yep.
You are 100%.
No, that
right.
is correct. That was kind of big.
Who brought the newt, Standy? Thank you. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, the theory goes on. I just realized I didn't start my timer, so I'm setting it for 5 minutes to keep myself on track. It also states that Tina is actually the president who strikes down Rappaport's law in the 1960s because she knows the harm it can cause to families because she saw the harm it caused to her family. She saw the way that the lens her sister went to just to marry a nomad, and she's seen the damage it's done to society. Interestingly, this also ties in to something that Newt does in the 1960s, which is the same year that's passed in 1965, which is the same year that the ban for experimental breeding is passed by Newt's commander in the UK. Why is Newt, a man who famously does not like the government, does not like being involved in diplomacy, passing laws unless he's married to the president of MACUSA? Finally, a couple more quotes from Catherine to kind of prop up Tina's character. She says that the events of the movies have led her to believe that the system has its faults, but she still loves the system. She wants to work within the system. She believes that the system can be improved best by working within it, so she takes it over. She believes that people can be powerful, but not necessarily unfair. And she wants to know what justice is and the best way she can help make sure that it is a just world that she is living in. Last quote I'm going to read because I like it. She has a journey there to understand so much she's never explored before. There might be something narrow-minded about her perspective in the beginning, but she comes to understand there's lots of different points of view. So that's my theory. Tina is hashtag girl boss and becomes president.
Nice.
Okay, Jeff, what do you think?
Well, first of all, I appreciate that everybody else tried to take things that are already within the series and make it work or explain it or incorporate something else into it, but your theory is the only one up here that actually addresses, okay, well, what happens past what we have already experienced so far? And between what you've presented, what already exists in the canon material, and the fact that you've got Catherine to back you up, I'm going to give it a demi, guys.
Yeah. Carolyn?
All right. I'm giving it a blast-ended scrut with caveats.
Okay.
And not because I don't think it deserves demi, guys, but the reason I am is because it hinders my own personal dream of Newt and Tina just traveling the world.
Okay, that's fair.
So while I find it demiguisable.
Demiguisable.
I like that.
Not demiguisable.
I like that. Demigods.
It just hurts my heart to think they're not just traveling the world, saving animals.
They can have different lives.
They totally can't. That is true.
Yeah,
that's
they,
fair.
They can be like the Leslie Knope and Ben Wyatt of the Wizarding World. They both have super important government jobs that keep them separated kind of a lot, but when they get together, they're just so adorable. And
fair.
They have children.
That's fair.
Marjolaine?
Yeah, I love that. I will give it a demiguise because I'm obsessed with Tina. And,
obviously.
I was sad that we didn't get her in the third one, and the fact that we didn't get her for a career reason, I hope when we will have future movies that it will lead us to this type of path for Tina to be a really important political figure, and it fits her character and. And I think also what it could represent, like this type of woman in charge with all of her qualities, that would be a great representation. So yeah, because we didn't have any positive political leader representation in the Potter books and in the Fantastic Beasts series. So. I really hope we can have one because it can, inspire us to change the world too.
Can you imagine how great she'd be working with Santos?
Oh yeah. Oh,
that'd be
yeah.
So great. Yeah, right. Right. Okay, audience, Flobberworm, hands up. Thanks, guys. Blast and its group. Okay. Demiguys. All right. Okay, so it seems pretty split half and half between Blast and the Scroot and Denny Dies. So now we enter into the fan fiction portion of the show, which is the part that those of you listening at home can't see it, but I'm wearing a bracelet that says what plot. So I love the fan fiction. We're going to try and piece together the plots of the fourth and at least the fourth movie, maybe the fourth and fifth movie if we can stretch it out. With these theories, we're going to build the movies so that way either Warner Brothers will take a clue from us and create these movies, or we will do our own fan film starring me as Tina and Jeff as Queenie, and they're going to be amazing.
Can I say one thing real quick? If I ever write this fan fiction, which I haven't decided if I want to or not, if I want to take my theory about Credence and Nagini having a child that eventually ends up being Snape's mom and connecting him to the Dumbledore family, I'm going to call it The Cursed Parents.
Ooh.
Oh, there you go. Nice. Way more appropriate of a name.
Yes.
Okay, so a few things that we need to start with as far as baseline goes. We know that the fourth and fifth movies need to cover a span of about 13 years, because movie 3 theoretically takes place in 1932, but based on the dialogue, could also be in, you know, January 1929.
One more year later.
So we're presuming 1932 because that's what the textual evidence in the movie shows us. So we know that these movies need to span from 1932-ish to 1945-ish. Yes?
I have a start that will incorporate both of our theories. I don't know if Percival wants to reveal himself or he wants to stay into his phoenix form, but either way, he should have witnessed what Grindelwald did to Credence.
He was, yeah, he would have been there. So,
yeah, so I'm sure he will have a part into giving enough clues to Newt, or I think to Newt specifically, or to Albus, to lead them to the way to save Credence with releasing him from the second Obscurus that is killing him.
I like that. I like that a lot. And we are definitely saying that Percival is Fox too, right? Because
yeah.
That's where I want to go. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's
okay.
Where my brain wants to go. Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to write that down. Percival is Fox.
just for clarification for those listening. I like it. I think that's definitely where it's got to be.
If you want to intervene at a certain point,
you can. Oh, yeah, if y'all have ideas, like, hands up, please.
Yeah.
We connecting have our theories, yeah. But we're not screenwriters. We're just devastatingly attractive. Yes. Okay.
That works with.
True. Yeah.
Okay, so for those of you listening at home or who can't hear here in the room, what our audience member posited is that the Phoenix did not come to Ariana or Kreta because they were dying, but to try and save them. Because Ariana did not die of being an Obscurial, she died because of other stuff.
And was also a lot older than
that's true.
An Obscurious. Obscure should be.
I don't know if she was that.
She was 13 or 14 when she died, wasn't she?
She was definitely older than, like, what, like 10, but she wasn't as old as Credence.
Okay,
which
yeah.
Maybe she would have had she lived long enough. We've determined, based on movie canon and book canon, that Dumbledores are apparently the exception to every magical rule. So she could have. She might have made it that far had she not been killed by Grindelwald.
Okay, so let's just pick a year. Let's say it's 1938. That gives us a nice middle point in between 1932 and 1945.
Okay.
What are Newt and Tina up to?
Well, hopefully finally married.
Okay, do we start with the new Tina wedding so that Sophie doesn't, like,
yes.
Go post?
Yes. Oh, okay. No, that has to, we ended three with Jacob and Queenie. We
yes.
have to open four
with the
Tina
new Tina
and
wedding.
New, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No.
We need
no.
We need
no.
to have
no?
the first kiss.
Oh, I'm hearing
somewhere.
A couple of no's. Please tell us why.
Uh-oh.
You're gonna spend that much time amping up Queenie and Jacob, and then you're gonna end on a wedding, and then we're gonna just see this little meet cute at the end of the movie, and then just jump to
okay.
the wedding with absolutely no preamble? Absolutely not.
We need the first kiss on screen.
Well, that too.
Okay.
But we do have a jump in time.
Also, weddings that close, I know we're gonna have a jump in time, but you can't just say, okay, well, during this jump in time that we're not actually going to be looking at, they went on a couple of dates, they talked about their relationship, they met with a magical wedding planner, Newt got over his pre-wedding jitters because he's definitely going to have them, and then, boom,
well,
open on a wedding.
Well, and to go to Anne's theory, you know, Tina is also rising star in Makuza, so I guess, yeah, you're right. We can't really open.
Okay, so
away.
Then do we start maybe with Tina's, like, meteoric rise
yes.
in Makuza?
That's
like, maybe
better.
So 1938,
yes.
We presume she's president by the 1960s, so we've still got another 20 years before she's president.
Their careers are both going really, really well,
okay.
but their careers, not just them as people, but the responsibilities that they have in their respective jobs with their respective wizarding governments has also changed as,
mm-hmm.
you know, the climate has with the continuing rise of Grindelwald in spite of everything that happened at the end of the last movie, because he built his following back up again, probably. That kind of thing, I think you can, that's the kind of thing that you can just say, oh, well, it happened during a passage of time. But the romantic tension between two characters culminating in a wedding, no. You have to show at least some of that.
And
okay.
that was three movies of awkward tension. So, okay, fair.
Movie four is going to be a lot of... some people like this part of movies like this, some people don't. I personally like when, I won't say get political as in takes a stance, but I personally like seeing how, you know, in fantasy universes, how the governing bodies have an impact on the culture and the people who have to exist in this universe, because even people who aren't big on fantasy, they can relate to that.
So you like the first three Star Wars movies then?
Yes.
I should point out, I do too, so.
No, I mean,
don't
this has been Marjolaine's, like, big, big sticking point about movie three this whole time, is how, like, it had so much potential to be such a good political movie, and then it just...
I like sci-fi C-SPAN.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I realized that if Tina is more involved and more in charge at MACUSA, she could be the reason why it would not be Dumbledore, but it will be Tina who will lead Newt back into the fight against Grindelwald, because it would be Tina's job to really be in front line. And so even if Dumbledore, I think at the end of movie 3, was decided to not involve them anymore, they will get involved because Tina is in front line, being in charge of, I don't know what in the ministry at this point, but yeah.
Okay. So then, let's see here. So we've figured out what Newt and Tina are up to. Are we presuming that Queenie and Jacob are just off-screen having babies and making croissants, or?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Okay, yes. Okay, they are having their happy ending elsewhere. Cool.
Believe me, nobody would be happier than me to see more of Dan Fogler and Allison Sudol on screen, because they are just, in addition to playing wonderful characters, they are delightful people, and I love seeing them on screen. But because of my love for Queenie and Jacob and all that they've been through, just let them go off. Let them go off, have a nice, peaceful, quiet life. Maybe they can send letters every now and then. Maybe you bring them back in for the big finale at the end of the last movie, but give them at least one movie where they don't have to do anything. Just let them go off and be peaceful somewhere.
I am okay with them popping in and giving us Ponchkeys, though.
Fine. Oh, yeah. Oh, maybe that's how the movie opens, is like Tina gets to her desk at her super important ministry office and she's got a little bento box and it says
and
love
cool.
Q on
yeah.
it.
There you go.
I personally would love if Newt and Tina, wherever they are, get interactive wish you were here postcards from their honeymoon.
Oh, there you go.
Oh my god!
Yes. Interactive wish you were here honeymoon postcards. Film. That's good.
But if they get their brief cameo and then they get their
Hence the cameos with the paunch keys. I agree.
Okay.
Yes.
We stand a plan that means the actors get paid their worth and their residual, so.
There we go.
May the actors' strike go in their favor. And writers.
Okay, so then let's tie in Eileen Prince. What's she up to? She's about 6 or 7 years old at this point, presuming she was born during the events of Secrets of Dumbledore. So she's...
We don't even have to spend a lot of time on that, to be honest. We can just kind of let that be the... Oh,
can we have a female-looking Severus Snape playing in the garden with a snake?
Yes, female-looking Severus Snape playing in the garden with a snake. Like, maybe you show her getting adopted and, like, Dumbledore is hanging out somewhere watching it go down because he's been keeping an eye on this child. No, even better.
What?
She's playing in the garden with a snake, she gets adopted, and then as soon as she gets in the car and drives away, or whatever it is, a cat that has been lurking nearby
there you go.
Hops off the fence, goes around the corner, maybe you even show him getting on a train, just like cat sitting there on a train, like, what are you looking at?
Okay, I'm not going to tell you how to handle that.
Meets up at a cafe with
Dumbledore
and says she's found a home, Albus.
There you go.
Wait,
like
Lauren?
That.
Oh.
Yes, because I'm...
That's true,
that's some poetic justice.
I was actually thinking about... I can't remember where I heard this from, but somebody recently said to me that they feel like there was some hesitancy from Nagini
in the movie.
But, like, would it... Like, she's at that point... Because we don't know a lot about her affliction either, but maybe that's part of it. Like, she's losing the part of herself that understands that this man is her grandson. Or does she even know?
I don't think she knows.
Does she realize it afterwards?
Oh, no.
I changed my vote. It's a flavor one.
She can't realize it afterwards because then Neville's cutting off chopped Snape's grandma's head.
Which Neville would be okay.
You know what, I think Neville's cool with that.
Snape than
go ahead,
Lori.
No, but Voldemort is in the same orphanage as Ivan and Snape. And Snape's parcel town and wants a mother. And Ivan and Snape actually still has a mother. And so they could be fighting over the law.
I don't think Nagini told Snape that she used to be a chick.
I don't think Snape speaks
parcel town.
See, that's,
that's true. We don't know that either.
That's something that's contested, I think, still in the fandom, is whether or not when you give over to your affliction and you officially transform into a snake and you can't transform back, do you have all of your memories? Do you still keep your same sense of, you know, identity, or are you just a super smart snake?
Okay, we got 5 minutes, so let's see if we can wrap, pull in Carolyn's theory and Marjolaine's theory. So... Carolyn, what's Grindelwald up to in all this time? Ooh. So is he working with Credence, or is Dumbledore working with Credence?
No, I don't think Grindelwald is, because Credence goes off with his dad. So he's with Aberforth.
Okay.
So, but I think Grindelwald is thoroughly obsessed with Obscurials and definitely think he's looking for more, for sure.
Okay.
Because I think that...
Is Dumbledore working with Credence to try and, like, pull out the other Obscurial? What's Aberforth up to? Is he just looking grumpy?
He's just looking grumpy and, like, worried about his kid.
Okay.
So, yeah. Okay. So that's my vote there. And as to Dumbledore, I think he's getting Newt. I think that's where he pulls Newt in.
Okay,
because
okay.
Newt has, not successfully in terms of how the child's life turned out, separated an Obscurial.
Okay, so Newt is looking at his interactive postcard from Hawaii with Queenie and Jacob waving on it.
Right.
And then another letter pops up that says, hey, I need your help. And he's like, not again.
It's not a letter. It's a glove.
It's a glove.
It's a glove.
On a roof.
On a roof.
Okay.
Yeah, I want Aberforth to have something to do. So maybe... his dad, the Phoenix, can reveal himself to Aberforth, because I would like Aberforth to be more active and not just following his brother, and so I don't know how, but yeah.
Is he doing mirror texting? But it's his feathers, because he's a bird.
I mean, do we think Percival reveals him? I feel like Albus is a little too morally gray, and I feel like Percival would have some issues with Albus.
Oh, do you think that's why he's coming up to Aberforth?
Percival is morally gray too. I mean, I think Albus get a lot from his father.
Well, yeah, but how much of that's his mother? Percival's pretty blatantly like, you went after my daughter, now I'm going to terrorize you. And the mother's the one who's more like, we need to be quiet and we need to keep them all hidden. So I feel like Dumbledore got more of that from his mother, or Albus got more of that from his mother.
True, because Aberforth is the one who punches his brother. So.
Exactly. That's true.
So I think Percival goes to Aberforth because I think he's got his issues with his other son.
Okay, so it sounds like we've got kind of the germs of the fourth movie here. So we start with the Newt and Tina plot, move into the Eileen Prince plot, then the...
three movies.
we have three movies. then we have
We've
the threads
got all the movies.
Of the Dumbledore working with Credence plot, which then Grindelwald looking for more Obscurials plot, which then ties into Percival the Phoenix revealing himself to Aberforth. And maybe that's how the fourth movie ends. We have this big reveal of like a... And he goes, Aberforth.
I've been here the whole time.
I am your father. It's impossible.
All right, that's a little too Darth Vader there for you.
That's the joke. Okay, well, it is 3:28, so thank you all so much for joining us today. We hope you have had as much fun listening to these theories and putting together the movie as we have. So the way we end, wrap up every episode is we say our names one more time, and then we say case closed. So I don't know if we're going to be able to coordinate it, but let's introduce ourselves.
What are you wearing?
Who?
What am I wearing?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, everyone should just quick show off your outfits, because everyone's dressed real nice.
Okay. This is a kefta from the Grishaverse, generously donated to me by Spinner's Court Design.
Keep an eye out in the show notes. It'll be linked on there.
And I'm wearing a nice little Doctor Who and Newt crossover because it is bigger on the inside.
Doctor Newt.
Doctor Newt.
All right, Marja?
I have a phoenix dress connecting to the theory that I was presenting.
And I'm just a Slytherin. Okay, so Jeff, we'll start with you. Say your names, and then we'll try and say case closed and okay. Sing, okay?
With you.
With you. Oh, yeah, yes. Everyone say it, too. Okay,
all
Jeff,
right.
Go ahead.
I'm Jeff.
I'm Carolyn.
I'm Marjolaine.
I'm Anne.
Case closed.